Hello, this is Tom Heck with TeachMeTeamwork.com, and I'm delighted to present with to you today a gentleman I just met recently, Michael Port, and he is known as the guy to call when you're tired of thinking small. I love that, because he helps people think bigger about who they are and what they offer to the world, and this is something that I have a deep and profound relationship with, as many of the people listening to this call know about Teach Me Teamwork. And how that came to be. And more importantly, I think that for Michael today, we're going to be talking about Book Yourself Solid. This is his recent book that was just released, and it's got a really short subtitle. It's called The Fastest, Easiest, and Most Reliable System for Getting More Clients, Even If You Hate Marketing and Selling. what's really exciting, I think, I'm going to be inviting Michael here on the call in just a second, but this book, within 2 hours of launching, went to number one on all major business categories at Amazon.com and climbed to the number two spot overall and was there for several days. And this all happened at the beginning of May. And in this book, he teaches people how to master the most difficult part of being self-employed, and that is selling yourself. Michael has lectured, trained, and provided coaching services to over 20,000 business owners. Another interesting fact here is that Michael started off as an actor and was in TV and film, including Sex and the City and Third Watch, Law and Order, All My Children, and many others. And Michael, I'd like to welcome you to the call.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. Just one quick thing. I'm doing a lot of interviews. These days, with the release of the new book, and I'd say about 75% of the people who are interviewing me always have a good joke about the subtitle.
Yes.
Because it's the longest. So actually, what's really wonderful is that this week we've hit another milestone.
Tell me.
Yeah, and we have now been inducted into the Guinness Book of World Records.
Uh-oh.
For the longest subtitle on any book.
Uh-oh. Okay, so I know when I write my book, I've got to have longer. I'm going to have...
I'm kidding, but wouldn't that be great? That's my joke in response, of course. Well, actually, we just... But yes, it is. It's great. It's one of the reasons I wrote a long subtitle. It was a choice, and it's all based on the design of the cover of the book. So for those people who, are interested in how to, how to position typography on covers and write copy and, general marketing to create awareness for what they're doing, go to Amazon.com and search on Book Yourself Solid and take a look at the book, and you'll see the cover, or go to any Barnes & Noble in the country and look at it, because you'll see why the long subtitle works. And it's just an interesting thing.
I actually love the subtitle, and I love the book, and I have it right here in front of me. And I think that when I first thing, Michael, is as we go into this interview, it would seem obvious that people who are listening to this would love the information, especially if they're a solopreneur, running their own business and wanting more clients. And I know that many of the people who subscribe to TeachMeTeamwork.com fall into that category. And then there are others who, they might be a classroom teacher, or they might be, working with a trainer within an organization and really don't have to find clients or build a client base. So is it possible that this what you have to share today is going to reach both groups?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Thinking big about who we are and what we offer the world is a very, very hard thing to do alone.
Mm.
And I think you'd agree that nothing really big in the world happens or is created by one person.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Nothing big that I've ever done has been done just by me, right? It's always when I'm part of something that is meaningful. And so this book, the programs that I offer, the business that I've built, the teaching that I do, etc., is all based on collaboration and working with others. And I find, it's interesting, there's another great book out called Startups That Work that offered some really good empirical data on this.
Mm.
They found that, they studied about 300 small businesses, and they found that the larger number of founding members of the entrepreneurial endeavor,
okay,
the more successful that business was.
Interesting. So you have, I know that you were just in New York City and presenting at a collaboration conference.
That's right.
And
it's
sharing
the power of collaboration. And I presented it with Andrea J. Lee and Milana Leshinsky. And it was absolutely magical. I expected it to be a good conference, but I didn't expect it to be magical.
Mm.
And the more that, you know, I see this manifest in my own business, and the more that I see it in the businesses and the lives of the people that I serve, the more inclined I am to specifically spend my time focusing on how can I work with other people to achieve the big things that I want in life.
I was going to say is that maybe what we can focus on then is the blend here of collaboration, thinking big, and then maybe weave in some pieces for how this all applies to building a client base, which is what you're talking about in Book Yourself Solid.
Absolutely.
So what have you learned? How does a master collaborator look at the world compared to someone who has great difficulty with collaboration?
It's a great question. You know, I remember I was at a conference once, and I was speaking, but then when I wasn't speaking, I was in the audience watching and listening.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the speakers in the middle of his speech said, you know, if I don't do it myself, it's not getting done.
Wait, I think that was my dad.
You know, I think my dad has the same problem. I'm still trying to, he's a psychiatrist, right? And I'm still trying to get him to have someone do his books, and he won't do it.
Right.
He, you know, sits home on the weekends and spends all his time, you know, doing his books himself. And my mother and I beg and we plead, and I say, I'll pay for it, you know? And it's obviously not a money issue for him. It's just, you know, it's a control issue,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that control is something that so many of us are searching for, but it is absolutely an illusion. The future is uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
The future is always uncertain. We can't determine results, right? All we can do is create circumstances that will allow us to navigate toward the results that will please us. And so this is applicable to those of us that are working in our own businesses, quote-unquote, right? And it's also applicable to those of us that are working in educational environments, in corporate environments, in not-for-profit environments. We are so... I see this all the time, this grip, this, like, white-knuckle grip that we try to place around what we're doing now as it relates to the future. And so instead of doing that, what I recommend is we create circumstances that will allow us to move there. And so these circumstances, I did some work with a fellow named Hal Maycomber a while ago, who's a good friend of mine, and he's a master in project management. In fact, he's one of the best-known project management consultants in the country.
Mm.
And he focuses on a particular type of project management called lean consulting in the construction and the architecture industries. And one of the things that I learned from him, or a number of the things I learned from him, but then we together developed into some protocols, was simple rules for producing remarkable projects. And if you think about a small business, right,
mm-hmm.
or if you think about any business, or if you think about, you know, a year in the classroom with kids, right, any work you do with other people is made up of lots of projects.
Okay.
And if you look at if you look at a successful business, if you sort of break it down, a successful business is made up of the completion of one successful project after another. I mean, every time you finish a project successfully, it then gives you the right, yeah, to then produce more projects. So, you know, when we launched Book Yourself Solid and it hit, you know, number one on Amazon and, you know, is still on the bestseller list, you know, on Amazon, and now is getting picked up on the other bestseller list, and it's, you know, it's doing amazingly well. That initiative, that project, allows us to do more books. It allows us, you know, to do more projects with our marketing partners because they say, they did a project and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
It was successful. If we continue to do projects that are not successful, well, certainly our business is not going to grow. People will not build, we will not be able to build relationships with other people based on trust. They won't have faith that we're going to continue to be able to succeed. And so really the project mentality is so important for all of us as it relates to building your business or working with others in any way. And certainly one of the first principles to doing that is leading with your passion, right?
Okay. So let's take a step back for a second. Let me see if I have this right. The a master collaborator then looks at the world, going back to that question of, they look at the world in terms of projects?
Well, I think so. Look, the master collaborator, I don't know what all master collaborators do, but what I have seen in master collaborators is this project mentality.
Okay.
Because you can work on a project by yourself,
mm-hmm.
but you don't tend to get remarkable results when you're working on something all by yourself. So the master collaborator thinks about, how do I do my projects?
Okay.
How do I build my business? How do I do all of the things that I'm passionate about with other people? So the focus is, how do I bring other people in at the earliest possible moment so they can influence the outcome of the project? Because remember what I said, the future is uncertain. You can't determine a result. What we want to do is create circumstances for creating remarkable results. And we can create better circumstances when we work with other people, because master collaborators know that they have great strengths and talents and may also have some skills. But they also know that there are areas where they are not talented or strong.
Okay,
and a master collaborator will bring in other people who are talented and strong in the other areas.
So someone's at the beginning of a project, and let's, in your case, it was, we met when you were publishing your book, and launching your book,
uh-huh.
and you said, bring people in at the earliest possible stage. How do you know who to work with? How do you know who to collaborate with, and when there's a match, in other words, and when there isn't?
That's a great question, and you know, the truth is, this sort of process is different for everybody. Some are more intellectual about it, some are more gut.
Mm-hmm.
I think the gut plays a big part in it, in this decision, always. On some level, it should be an influencer. We know pretty much right off the bat in our gut on some level if somebody is right for us in a romantic relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we stay in that relationship for a long time because we think, well, I don't know, they're really good on paper or for whatever reason, right? You know what I mean? And so something in our body is telling us it's the wrong place. So we say, well, I'll just hang out because maybe the person's right for me and it'll work out in the long run. And then, you know, 6 months, a year later, it blows up and we go, well, I knew from the beginning. I should have listened to my gut, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when we're right at the beginning, I think we have to start there. But I want to back it up even farther, because before we start choosing partners, I think we have to make sure that the projects we're working on, the things that we're doing, that we're passionate about them. And I don't mean just a little bit passionate. I mean incredibly passionate. Because you know, as a bright person, right, you get ideas all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you have more ideas in a day, you know, than you spend sitting down for a meal, right?
Right.
But we can't do all of the things that come to our mind. It's just not possible. And so, some of us will try to do everything and then we'll just become overwhelmed and get stuck. Or we'll think, geez, I have so many ideas I can't choose, and we won't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the master collaborator starts with the passion, what they are most passionate about, and when they look at a project, they say, is this the right time for me to do this? Because just because something's a good idea doesn't mean that A, it's the right time for you to do it, or B, you should do it at all. So I'll give you an example. In my business, I had what I thought was just a genius idea. About, I don't know, maybe 8 months ago.
Okay.
Because, you know, in my environment, I have, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of clients, right? Coming through our different programs and our seminars and buying our products, etc. And one of the most consistent questions that I get asked is, well, how do I hire this kind of bookkeeper? How do I hire a virtual assistant? Who should I get for design? all the different services that the small business owner uses, people were asking me who I recommended and wanted to use the people that I use.
Mm-hmm.
A, because they felt, well, that person could be trusted, and, you know, B, they would understand the systems that Michael uses, and I want to use those same kind of systems because I'm building a business that is a similar model, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went, well, of course, I should offer all of these services. I mean, this is, it, you know, I was looking at the revenue model, I'm going, my goodness, this is an amazing additional stream of revenue we could add to the business. So my team said, oh, yeah, sounds like a great idea, great idea. I started building out the different offerings and the pricing and building out the section of the website for it and kind of did a soft lob out there, and people rushed to it. But after a couple months, I kind of went, I don't know. It was dragging my feet around it. It was starting to feel a little annoying and frustrating for me, and my team wasn't really rallying behind it, and you know, it just wasn't really flying. And I started to feel, oh, my God, we're now putting our energy into this thing. But I don't really want to. That's just an idea to make more money. You know, sure, we'll be serving our clients, but I don't really want to be doing that.
In other words,
speaking and writing and all this other stuff.
The passion wasn't there.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, great idea, very sound business principle, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was the wrong initiative or project for me and my team. Whereas, for instance, you know, at the time, maybe in a year, it'll be different, right? And it's interesting because my colleague, who I just mentioned, Andrea J. Lee, does something very similar. But it's the right thing for her and her team to be doing because she likes it. She's fired up about it. She focuses on it. She's more passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it speaks to more of her strengths than mine. You see?
Mm.
So when I, you know, when you're looking at, you know, what to choose, you've got to make sure that it's the right time and the right, you know, and right time now and the right project at all. Then I think once you really are clear, like, yes, I'm passionate about this, it's the, no, again, you know, try things, you'll learn pretty quickly if they're the right thing to do or not, like I did, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we can't always no. Sometimes we just got to get in and learn in action and actually, you know, do it and see what comes up. But I think once we have a good sense of whether it makes sense, then we look at who we want to bring in at the earliest possible moment. And I think we take an assessment of our strengths, what we actually want to be doing, remember, are the things that we're interested in, we're skilled at, we're talented at on this particular project, or the things we're really passionate about, not yet really skilled at, but want to get more skilled, so we decide to focus on that aspect of the project. Right, because if you have a talent for something, you can build skills a lot quicker than you can if you don't have a talent, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you look to other people that have complementary talents and strengths. Complementary talents and strengths. But you got to make sure you really like them.
Now, I'm reminded of the section in your book about selecting the ideal client.
Yes.
It seems like there's some overlap going on here. I mean, there's the ideal collaborative partnership.
Yes. Well, you know, I think there's a lot of overlap there. The first chapter of Book Yourself Solid, in fact, is called the Red Velvet Rope Policy.
Yes.
And the idea is before you start learning how to build a foundation for your business, which is the first module of the book, before you start learning how to build trust and credibility within your marketplace, which is the second module of the book, and before you start implementing the Book Yourself Solid 7 Core Self-Promotion Strategies, which is the third module of the book, before you do all of that stuff, I think you've got to create a filtration system that only allows in the people that are most ideal for you, the people with whom you do your best work, the people that energize and inspire you.
Mm.
And actually, sometimes if you've been in business for a little while and you have some clients, you may even need to remove some clients.
Yes.
Refer them out so you can clean up your space, clean up your energy, you know, because your client base is your extended team. In fact, I think they're an extension and an expression of you and the way that you work in the world. And so I look at my clients as if they are partners in my business. And so I make the same kind of determination when working with somebody that I would when choosing to work with a collaborative partner.
Now, can I ask you a question? I remember working with a coach who was a mentor coach to me early on, 10 years ago, or when I was first, not that long, maybe it was in the late 90s or so, and he asked me to identify my ideal client, and so I went to work on that, and I sent him an email, and he wrote back, and he said, so you pretty much want to work with angels. And, you know, it made me scratch my head and say, gosh, you know, that's a pretty strong filter.
Yeah.
You know, there's water filters that are, you know, that allow larger particulate matter to come in, and then there's like really, really fine, you know, expensive filters that allow nothing to come in other than H2O, right? So how do you answer that? How do you know when you've got the right filter, that you haven't made it too fine?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, first of all, if it's so fine that you find that you're not actually meeting anybody that would fall into your, you know, red velvet rope policy, then you're probably too fine. But I think when we, you know, I don't know, there's probably all sorts of reasons that we would make the filtration system so fine that, you know, nobody comes in, right?
Right.
But I think that if we at least have a, if we at least have a sort of criteria, and the criteria are the qualities of the people that we want to work with, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as long as they have a few of those qualities.
Okay.
Right? And there are enough of those qualities that actually interest us and inspire us, because nobody is perfect. It doesn't mean that you're, every single person that you work with is never going to call you on something, is never going to, you know, give you a hard time, be in a bad mood, pay late, whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's perfect. But at least there are certain things that you know really light you up. Like, for instance, I don't do well with cynical folks.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends who are cynical, right? But I can deal with them better than I can with clients who are cynical.
Yes.
That's just a personal thing. Now, I know another person who does what I do, and he says he actually loves working with people who are cynical. He really connects with them. Why? He's a little cynical.
Yes. Right? Okay.
So, for me, it's just hard. I like people who are easily excitable. This is really, really important to me. And so that's one thing that I look for. Doesn't mean that person's also going to have some traits that aren't, like, absolutely ideal, but nobody's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So at least if there's a few, right? And again, you know, for me, they're really simple things that I look for. I connect well with people that laugh a lot. I connect well with people whose projects benefit large groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, when people who do projects that affect large groups of people, there's a certain way that they look at the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I connect with. So I look for a few, and let's say I've got a list of 10 sort of qualities that are really ideal for me. If they have 3 to 5, that's a great place to start.
Okay. So I would imagine now at your case that you're employing this filter on a regular basis, that as you've, your book gets to, you know, be so popular and in so many people's hands, people on the other, this is what I've experienced as I've built my community and network, is people, I end up getting calls and emails and saying, hey, I want to partner with you.
Sure.
On something. So I must confess, Michael, that there are times where I feel a little bad about saying, well, it doesn't look like we have a match.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. It's a challenge that we all go through when we really do want to serve other people. We mm-hmm. love to connect with other people. And we still are in a, even though we've built something that's thriving, we may still be in a place of, well, geez, it's thriving now, but 2 years ago, I really, you know, I wasn't in the place I am now, so if I start saying no, is that going to put me back to where I was a couple of years ago, right?
Right.
And so I think part of it is really starting to be more comfortable with the, you know, the place that we're in now and the foundation that we're on. But also, I think it's a natural sort of part of growing ourselves, this aspect of, you know, of personal development. Michael Gerber is a mentor of mine. He wrote The E-Myth, one of the, you know, best books on small business development.
Yes.
And creating systems and the operations and the whole thing. It's just a wonderful book. And And he talks about, you know, you must work on your business while working in your business, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we take it one step further and we add, you know, we add to that, we say we must work on our business while working in our business and on ourselves. And sometimes saying no is working on ourselves. Because it's interesting, we probably don't want to hire people that can't say no, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for us, you know, we must create some sort of filtration system. And sometimes it's hard because sometimes when I do say no, people will ask why. And I will always ask them, do you want the pat answer or do you want me to actually tell you why? No, really. And I mean it sincerely. I don't mean it in a sarcastic way at all.
Right, right.
I mean it very sincerely. And some people will say, not right back at all, fearing the worst, right?
Yes.
And some people will say, no, I'd really like to know. And I always recommend that they read a book by Seth Godin called Free Prize Inside.
Yes.
Have you read that book?
I have read that book. I love Seth Godin's work.
It's a wonderful book. And there's one particular thing in the book that he calls the fulcrum of innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And basically the fulcrum of innovation says that if you want something to get done inside the corporate world or, you know, in your own business, if you want people to say yes to you, there are three things that you have to get yeses to. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that people are going to consider, and this is where I always write back, I say, go check out this, go look at Seth Godin's book, look at the Fulcrum Innovation, and see if you really, you know, if you felt like you could pass these three hurdles with me, right? Because the first thing that people are going to ask when you present them an idea is it going to be successful? Now, again, the future is uncertain. We can't determine a result. But we make assumptions. So you've said, hey, Michael, I want to do this thing. I'm going to build a 9,000-foot pyramid on top of my house. And I've never actually been an architect before. And I'm going, what are you talking about? This
right.
is not going to be successful.
Right.
He's going to kill himself. So if someone, you know, hears your idea or what you're talking about and they feel like it's not going to be successful, they're not going to go any further.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
mm-hmm.
They're not going to ask any other questions. They're going to go, no, probably not, right? But if they say, you know what, that sounds like it'll work, sounds like it'll be successful, the next thing that they'll probably ask themselves, and this is maybe unconscious, it may not be a conscious question, they may just sort of ask themselves, well, is this worth my time? Now, it's going to be successful, but is it worth me doing? Is it worth my resources, my energy, you know, capital, et cetera, et cetera?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say, you know what, this is absolutely worth my time doing, then they're going to ask, is this person able to champion this project? Are they able to do what they say they can do? And I think those are the three best sort of metrics to make sure that you've answered in the affirmative before you go and pitch somebody. And so usually I will use this as an example. Say, the first thing that I saw is that I don't see any reason why this would be successful. You haven't proved that this is going to be successful, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why this is worth my time doing, right? And maybe you haven't either showed me why it's worth my time. Maybe I'm just dense and not seeing it. Or maybe you're saying, well, your share will be $3 for every product we sell. I'm going, what do I want $3 for, right?
Right.
And then, you know, the last part is, you know, are you able to do it? And you might say, look, I don't know you. I've never heard from you, you know, before. And I have no idea if you are who you say you are or, you know, can do what you say you can. You know, so there's lots of things that's why the whole second module of Book Yourself Solid is focused on trust and credibility. Because if you can build trust and credibility, you get to yes a lot faster. Right?
Yes. And this is also true in training. You know, if someone out there is listening to this and they... what they're selling are ideas within an organization. You know, they're in HR, perhaps, and they're building teams. Oftentimes, I'm looking at these questions and I'm thinking, these could be applied in a lot more situations than what we're just talking about.
Oh, of course. I mean, really, you know, again, I take this example from Seth Godin's book, you know, the Free Prize Inside, and he's really writing the book for people in the corporate world who are trying to get their projects done, or trying to get their ideas pitched laterally and vertically, right?
Right.
So, you know, I think it's relevant for anybody that is, you know, trying to, you know, wants to collaborate. You know, you got to prove you can do it. You got to prove that it's worth, you know, what's in it for them. What's the you know, the everybody's favorite radio station, WII-FM.
Right.
What's in it for me, right? And then, of course, you got to strategically prove that it makes sense. It's like when I did this Amazon campaign, big marketing initiative, but the only reason that we were so successful, I mean, we really blew it out of the water. We did something that had not been done before in terms of the way that we structured this marketing initiative.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason it was successful is because other people said, yes, I will help you promote this. And the reason they said, yes, I will help them promote it is because, A, they believe that I would be successful doing it, because people want to be part of things that work, right?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want to promote something that doesn't actually achieve its goal, right?
Right.
A, sounds like it's going to be successful. The guy makes sense when he's talking about it. I buy into that. B, is it worth my time? Yeah, it's worth my time for all of these reasons, A, B, C, and D. And, you know, and can this person do it? Yeah, he's done this before, and so-and-so says he's great, and so-and-so, et cetera, et cetera. So those three points have to be covered, and that is how you will get other people to build your business with you, to market with you, to collaborate with you, to refer to you, et cetera, to mastermind with you. I mean, it is such an important factor.
Well, we're coming to the end of our time together here, and obviously I feel like we've just touched the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, with the ideas that you have to share with collaboration. And I want to encourage everyone, all of our listeners, to go to Amazon.com and buy the book, Book Yourself Solid. And Michael, how can people find you on the Internet?
Oh, they can go to michaelport.com, michaelport.com, or they can go to bookyourselfsolid.com. And if they want to download a free chapter of the book, they can do it there at bookyourselfsolid.com. Or for a good giggle, for a good laugh, especially if you're an American Idol fan, go to entrepreneuridol.com and watch a 3-minute animated video that will absolutely make you laugh out loud, and you can also download a free chapter of the book there.
Well, and for our listeners who are also interested in thinking big, I know that you have something called the Think Big Revolution.
I do. I have something called the Think Big Revolution. It's a meeting of people who want to think big about who they are and what they offer the world.
I love that.
Yeah, we do it every Monday at 12 o'clock Eastern. It's totally free. But the only criteria is you've got to really want to think big.
Yes.
That's the only barrier for entry, right? If you're not interested in thinking big, probably not a good place, right? So we do it every week at 12 o'clock Eastern, and if you want to be a part of it, if you want to join, just go to thinkbigrevolution.com, thinkbigrevolution.com, and you can sign up there.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Michael, thank you so much. This has been enjoyable. I've learned some things about what it takes to have a positive and experience collaborating with other people, and also successful. I was going to try to combine the two words there, positive and successful. I think I love collaborating with people, and the insights that you've shared today have moved me a little bit further. And again, I want to encourage people to get the book, because I think people will learn even more about how to collaborate with each other. And I'm going to be joining you on the Think Big Revolution calls, because I like thinking big.
Right on.
All right. Well,
excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, again, this is Tom Heck with TeachMeTeamwork.com, and we've been talking with Michael Port, who has recently authored and published Book Yourself Solid, The Fastest, Easiest, and Most Reliable System for Getting More Clients Than You Can Handle, Even If You Hate Marketing and Selling. There's a lot in here for anybody who's working with teams, with people, and not just building businesses, but spreading ideas like what we've been talking about.
Right.
So, Michael, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Thanks for listening, and we'll look forward to having you on another Teach Me Teamwork call at some other time.